Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27.
For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. That is from Ephesians 1, verses 4 and 5. Welcome to this National Adoption Month episode of Orphans No More. I'm your host, Sandra Flack of Justice for Orphans Ministry. My guest today is Florida foster and adoptive mom and orphan care missionary, Sandra Hoag. Welcome to the show, Sandra.
Hi, how are you today, Sandra?
Very good. I know this will be interesting. We have two Sandras. Let's see if we can keep ourselves straight.
Thank you for having me today.
Oh, it's a pleasure. So, Sandra, what led you and your husband, Steve, to become foster parents and eventually adopt?
Well, it started early in our marriage when we decided, after we had settled down and bought our first home and took a position as children's pastors of a pretty large church in Florida, and we got our first time having insurance, we decided this would be a great time to begin growing our family and having children. And we learned pretty quickly that it wasn't as easy as we thought it would be. And after seeing doctors and specialists, we found that we were dealing with infertility. And so that sorrow and that loss of infertility turned into a desire to seek out other options to grow our family. And so we started as foster parents in our area in Volusia County. And we thought, well, if we start through foster care, we can get kids in our home and hopefully adopt some of those kids that come in and aren't able to be reunified with their families.
So this was like 2004, correct, when you were doing the MAP classes to become certified foster parents? And
right.
So while you're waiting actually to finalize that certification, something pretty amazing happened. Tell us about that.
Yes, it did. So we were waiting to hear back from the agency that we would be approved and going, just waiting for the paperwork to be completed and our backgrounds to be, you know, submitted and all of those things. In that time frame, we had run into a couple at the church that we were ministering at. In fact, their daughter was in our children's ministry, and she bragged about her parents having a new baby boy, and I had known that her mom was not pregnant, so I was very interested to hear how she has this little baby boy. And I ran out to the parking lot of the church to meet her little brother and talk to her parents and find out that they had also gotten a call just a few days after the baby boy that they had adopted into their family, and that they were waiting to hear about some friends who were interested in this other precious little boy that was born in the Central Florida area. And I shared our story with them about how we had been trying to have children and that we were hitting some issues with some unknown infertility, and that we too desired to have children, but that we were choosing the foster care route. And he asked me if we would be interested in this little boy in Central Florida if this other family, his friend, backed out for any reason. And of course I said yes, but had no idea, you know, what that looked like or meant, and really honestly had no thought that this other couple would turn an opportunity down so great. Well, that very next day I got a call from that couple from the church and said, our friend have declined the opportunity to adopt this little boy. The attorney needs you and your husband here today. They need a family for this baby, and we need you to come and meet the lawyer and meet the baby. Well, what nobody realized was my husband had already left to go to kids camp with kids from the church, and he was about 2.5 hours away, and I was about an hour away from where this baby was born and had just started a brand new job. And I had to find the courage to ask my very brand new boss if I could leave to go meet this baby, and quickly shared with him kind of what we were going through and dealing with and why we were going to meet this baby. So my husband got permission to leave the camp, have other adults take over his position there. I left my job, and we met in Orlando. And when we got there, the attorney met us in this a private room and said, you have 15 minutes to make a decision.
Wow.
We need a family for this baby. He's 8 days old. He is 3 pounds, 11 ounces.
Wow.
We have very little medical history. He is not a preemie. He is just low birth weight. And I'll take you into the NICU area, and you can see him and make that decision. Of course, we were very excited, but there was a lot of, you know, we were just unsure about it all. And of course, we weren't prepared and weren't on any kind of list to be to adopt. So we had no preparation financially. We had no preparations in our home. And so we had no idea what to expect or how this was all going to pan out. So we went into the NICU. This little baby was so tiny. He was literally swimming in his preemie diaper. The preemie size diaper went all the way up to his chest. That's how tiny he was.
Oh.
And his binky was literally cut in half. It was one of those hospital binkies that are circular, and it was cut in the middle because his binky went over his nose. He was just that tiny. The nurse said they had to look for doll clothes to fit him. But nobody had any real idea of why he was so tiny at full birth, at full term. So the attorney is waiting for us outside of the NICU. We hold the baby, and we're praying and asking God to give us a quick answer. And I am full of fear and doubt, to be honest, Sandra. And I'm thinking, how are we going to afford a private adoption? We weren't planning for this. We weren't prepared. And I have a job that I just accepted. And it was one of the dream jobs that I had wanted. I actually had gone back to college to get another degree just so I can get this job. And it didn't make sense to me. And my husband looked at me and said, why would we say no? This is what we've been praying for. We want children. And so I kind of attached my faith to his, and I let him lead the way. And God just did miracle after miracle. We had somebody in our family cover the cost of the adoption and allowed us to pay that feedback in increments over a period of a year, which was a blessing. I had family step up and help me care for him so I can continue working. We had a beautiful lady at our church that was a grandma type to so many kids, and she helped us with him a couple of days a week. And God just worked it out. And we said yes to that first little miracle. And today he's 12 years old, and he's doing great. He did have some issues with his growth throughout the years, but God provided ways for that also. And he's a healthy 12-year-old middle school boy.
Wow. And that is Silas James is his name.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
We named him Silas James, which was a name that the Lord had given us 7 years before. And we just knew that that was a promise that we would have a son by that name. We just had no idea that that child would not come from my womb.
Wow.
And so the Lord had already given us that name. And we were just ready. As soon as we said yes, and the attorney said, well, let us know when you figured out a name. We said, we already have the name. We've been holding this name dear to our hearts. And this is his name. This is what God gave us.
Wow. So you brought Silas James home, and... But you did become certified foster parent. So when did you begin fostering?
Well, in our area, the agencies don't like to place foster children in a home where a newborn is new to a family, just to give time for that acclimation. And so I appreciate that now, looking back. At the time, I didn't quite understand that, but I was a first-time mom, and everything was new to me. But they gave us a 12-month time to really get used to just having this child in our home. And about a year after we took Silas James home, we got this very interesting call from our agency. It was kind of out of nowhere, and I was at work, and it went something like this: congratulations, Mrs. Hogue. You and your husband are now licensed foster parents. You've been approved by Tallahassee, and your certificate came in the mail. And so we'd like to bring that to you today. And we'd also like to bring you a 4- and 5-year-old sibling group of boys.
Surprise.
Oh, really? Okay. So congratulations, and we've got some of your first placements coming your way today. So that was an interesting phone call, and of course I went home right away and to meet her and to meet those boys. And that our first placement was very interesting in that we weren't really sure what to expect and realized that trauma in children in foster care really can play out in so many different ways. And in this case, a lot of behavioral issues and some educational deficiencies and lots of educational gaps, just gaps in their learning throughout their short years. And so we had quite a journey ahead of us with getting them into the right therapies and extra help and tutoring and things like that. And then 3 months after we received those two little boys at 4 and 5 years old, we got a call about a 10-month-old biracial girl. And, you know, I already had 3 boys in the home and my husband, and I thought, wow, lots of testosterone going on in this house. It'd be great to add a little girl to the family, and I had desired that. And the Lord had given us a name for a little girl, and this one had come to us as a foster-to-adopt situation. She was actually placed in an adoptive home with her siblings and due to some situations with her excessive crying and just being inconsolable. The adoptive family decided that they couldn't handle her and wanted to keep the sister and brother. So we got the call for her. Of course, we said yes, and she was placed in our home just a few months after. And so in that 15-month period from having no children to that last one coming, Sayla, we named her Sayla Christine, it had only been 15 months.
Wow.
So in such a short time, we went from 0 to 4 and really not knowing much about parenting, even though we thought we did, especially parenting kids from hard places. We definitely had a journey and some challenges ahead of us.
Yeah. Now, my husband and I had 3 biological kids, and then we adopted, and we thought we knew what to do, too. and still, it levels the playing field. When you bring into your home kids from hard places, it's a whole different rule book. It's a whole different playbook on parenting.
Yeah.
And thankfully, nowadays, there are resources and we have incredible, wonderful research and work done by the late Dr. Karen Purvis and TCU and the folks at Empower to Connect and all of that. And Jane Schooler's doing some tremendous stuff. So now we have resources. I know back when I did it, there were no resources, 10 years ago when we started. But
I agree with you on that. We didn't know any different at first until we would talk to our friends that had bio kids and we would say things about what our kids were doing and they would kind of look at us puzzled and just not know what to say to us. And so we kind of scrambled our way through parenting, just really praying and just asking God to give us wisdom, because like you said, we didn't have friends or family to go to that understood this and the trauma that causes the brain to change and to be to cause a child to think differently and to behave differently until recently with all the things that you've mentioned. And I've learned so much more in this last like year and a half of my parenting than I ever knew all the way through with all the children that we've had in and out of our home.
So what did the Lord show you with you brought all these kids in and you needed that help and support, and the Lord provided that. But what did the Lord show you?
Well, after we took Sayla in, and we were really in the trenches of this work of caring for the modern day orphan, the kids in foster care, we realized that that we selfishly had gone into fostering to add to our family and adopt. What we realized going in after Sayla and after we had fostered several children after Sayla is that this was a very needy area of missions work in our community, that these kids needed love and healing, and they needed to catch up in their education, and they needed even catch up in their growth physically and mentally and spiritually. And there were so many ways that my husband Steve and I felt like we could be ministers to these children, whether they stayed or not. And so that selfish reason of, I want to foster so I can grow my family, turned into, I want to foster so I can help as many children as God allows me to help. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's not because Steve and I are any kind of great people, or we're not great, the greatest parents, and we don't know everything. We don't know a lot of things. But what we did have is we had Jesus, and we had Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us and give us the words to speak over these children. And we prayed over them, over generational curses and over things that they had no control of. And we just learned so much about the needs in the foster care system, that it was a broken system and there were broken children that needed the love of Christ and the healing that only can come from Him. And we were just being conduits of that. And we were so grateful that God could use us. And He continued to use us. And we ended up fostering a total of 16 children over the last 12 years. And after we fostered about 10 children in addition to Selah, once we placed her in our home. And it was several year period of children coming and going and not staying within our home for permanency. And we just enjoyed that time. It was hard, but we enjoyed seeing kids come one way and leaving a different way. But during that time, Sandra, we also learned that the resources in the community weren't sufficient for families like us who were getting kids at any time of the day or night and not having what they needed. And so we started a few things there at our local church. We started a support group for families, and we started an orphan's closet where they can come and get clothing and baby items, diapers, and shoes for free. And we started providing the training that's necessary to become foster families, because we realized we couldn't foster everybody's child, and we knew that the best families would come from the church, the body of Christ. And so those classes were then provided. And we launched that orphan care ministry there as we were also full-time children's pastors.
Incredible. I just love what you're doing. And I want to remind our listeners, if you're just joining us, I'm Sandra Flack, your host of Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. To learn more about adoption and foster care, visit our website, justicefororphansny.org. My guest today is Florida foster and adoptive mom and orphan care missionary Sandra Hoag. Sandra and her husband Steve are parents to 10 children that all joined their family through foster care and adoption. And I'm going to list them off. You have now Stephen is 16, Seth is 15, Simon is 12, Silas, your first little guy who came through that domestic adoption, is 12. Selah is 11, Sophia is 11, Solomon is 6, Samuel is 6, Sarai, did I say her name right? Sarai is 5, and Salome, another domestic adoption, is 3. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Wow.
You got it.
I got it. I cheated.
Good job.
I got it. what I think is so cool is they all of their first names begin with S's, and I just interviewed an adoptive dad from Texas, and all of his kids have the first letter of each of their names is T. So there's a trend going on here. But you can check out Sandra's crew at her website, hoagcrew.org. And their last name is Hoag, H-O-G-U-E. So that's hoagcrew.org. So Sandra, according to Florida foster care laws, your family is full, so you're no longer able to foster.
That's correct.
Now go ahead.
I was going to say the number that Florida allows is 5. And they do make some exceptions if you're taking a sibling group in foster care. But as far as adoption, there is no number.
Right.
There's no limit. So through foster care, we had to stop when we fostered and adopted our 5th and 6th child back in 2012. And then in 2013, we adopted a domestic child as a newborn, and then a child through relative care through the foster care system. And then this year, 2016, we took in a sibling group a girl who's 11 and her brother who's 6. And we're hoping to finalize their adoptions here in the next month or so.
Wow. So, but now you and Steve are orphan care missionaries. Tell us about this ministry work that you do.
Well, after we had been on staff at this church for 12 years, and we really saw this need for orphan care to be expanded outside of our church, and really it needed to be something that was into our community and in our county, and we really wanted to see this thing go, you know, statewide and countrywide. And so the Lord opened doors for us to step down as full-time U.S. orphan care missionaries. We raised our own support, and we've been traveling all over the country in the beginning of our start, and then now we focus on the Southeast. And we just, our mandate, Sandra, is to go to the church, the body of Christ, no matter what denomination, no matter what background, but just on the theology of Jesus and of caring for widows and orphans, as it says in James 1:27. And we just we challenge the church to not only step up and fill the need for becoming foster parents, because as you know, there's a crisis. We have 500,000 of them in our country, and the statistics are horrific as far as how many kids are going in and out of foster care and how many kids have to stay in a group home because there's lack of foster parents, but that they also are encouraged to consider adoption. There are 100,000 children in our country that are waiting to be adopted. They have no parental rights attached to them, and they're literally waiting for a family to take them, to make them their own. And then the other part that we talk about with churches is we know when we go to congregations that not everybody will fit in those two categories. We know that not everyone can foster and not everyone can adopt. So we encourage people to consider being a court advocate as a guardian ad litem. But if you're in a church body and you have foster and adoptive families in your church, we talk about wraparound families. A wraparound family is one who does exactly what that term says. They wrap around the family who is fostering and adopting by providing support services. Number one is prayer, just being that ongoing encourager and prayer warrior for that family, because they're in the trenches and they're dealing with some tough stuff with these children that are coming from hard places. But bringing a meal, some of these tangible ways, bringing a meal, lawn care for this family, providing tutoring for the children in their home, helping with babysitting, providing respite care, so the couple can maybe go away to a conference or over a weekend, providing monetary help. Say that the family is needing a larger vehicle to help towards that, or maybe there's a child in their family that is needing a special program that goes on their computer because they're needing some extra help, and helping in those ways. So wraparound families is just so many ways, such a variety of ways that they can show their love and support for families who are doing this.
And the need is great, because I think sometimes people do hear, oh, adoption, oh, foster care, I can't do that. But and I think the numbers are somewhere around 3% of Christian families will actually bring kids into their home. But that doesn't let the other 97% off the hook. They have the opportunity to, like you said, wrap around the families that are doing this and be part of orphan care ministry.
Exactly. And Sandra, I want to make sure people understand that it's not a secondary need,
right,
where it's something that's not as important. I believe it's all important.
Yeah.
I believe it's important for that, you know, 90-year-old grandmother to come over to the home of a foster family who took in, you know, drug addicted newborn and rock them so that the mom can go get something else done for the rest of the family, or that older person who can quilt blankets or make little hats, or you know, or that teenage child who wants to do something and they could, you know, donate their really nice clothes to teenagers in foster care. I think that there's something for everyone. And we can all ask ourselves, what's our talent? What are we good at? How can we take our talent and use that for God's glory to support a foster and adoptive family? If we're really good at something, math, we can tutor a child in math. Or if we're good at, you know, if we're someone who knows how to cut hair, we can go into a foster home and cut everyone's hair. Because it's hard to, when you're taking in kids that have behavioral issues or sometimes even medical issues, to go anywhere, especially if you're a larger family like ours. You know, taking 10 kids to the grocery store is not fun. And taking them to get their hair cut is equally not as fun. And, you know, personally, I have a lady that comes to our home who cuts hair during the day. She comes to our home and cuts everyone's hair at one time. And I don't have to go anywhere and have to worry about the meltdown of my one special needs child. And I don't have to worry about, you know, waiting for the rest of the kids while the other ones have their hair cut and are just sitting there, you know. So it's just these little ways that we can all do our part. Mm. Everybody can do something. We may not all do the same thing, but we can all do something.
That's right. And real quick, as we wrap up here today, Sandra, is there anything else on your heart that you'd like our listeners to really take away from our conversation today? What do you want them to really know?
One thing that I would love our listeners to hear is that if God's calling you to be a foster parent or to adopt, I say go do it. Find out what the necessary steps are. What's the class that you have to take, or who do you need to talk to get more information? Don't delay it any longer. Obedience is key. The Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. It's best to just, when you hear the voice of the Lord, you feel, you just know He's tugging at you to do something, do it. So many times I talk to people who feel called to do something, whether it's orphan care related or not, and they have just been bombarded by the thoughts of their inadequacy, that, you know, the enemy will just come after them and say, you're not good enough. You didn't even grow up in a good home. How do you believe you can provide a good, safe home for a child? You were abused. Now you're going to take abused children. How are you going to deal with that? Or you're too old, or you're not married, or you don't own your own home, or all of these myths and these fallacies that we get bombarded with, and then we use that as an excuse to not do what God's calling us to do. I just want to admonish and challenge the listeners to hear the voice of the Lord and do it.
That's right.
Whatever that may be.
That's right. So thank you for joining us today, Sandra, and for all that you are doing to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless.
Thank you.
And
it's
to learn.
Privilege.
Oh, it was an honor to have you. And I just love all that you're doing throughout the Southeast also. To learn more about the Hoags and their ministry, you can visit their website at hoagcrew.org. You can also find it at thechurchisthesolution.com. Love that one. And if you enjoyed today's show, you can help us continue to be a voice for the voiceless by financially supporting this ministry with a one-time gift or monthly giving. Just go to our website, justicefororphansny.org, where you'll also find all of our past episodes from the last 3 years of Orphans No More. In our call to rally the church for the cause of the orphan, I'd value the opportunity to come speak at your church, small group, event, or women's retreat. Contact me, Sandra Flack, by email at sandraflackjfo@gmail.com or at our website, justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.